Buck Rogers in the 26th Century. Episode 121 X Back to the Skies, written by Aaron Weinstock. I don't hold any of the copyrights in this story, and this story was made without profit. Teaser. Int, Hawk's bedroom. Hawk at 4 or 5 years old, with soft gray feathers for his plumage, is in bed with the covers pulled up to his head. His older sister has just tucked him in. Before this half of the story truly begins, I think I should note to you, in most younger Hawk scenes he's called Hall. Lante, do you feel all snug for the night? Hall, uh-huh. Lante, have good dreams then, Hall, she says, leaving him and going up a curved stairwell. Hall, good dreams to you too. After she's been gone for a beat, Hawk, looking impatient like only a kid can, wrecks up his blankets to be free of them. It's because of that it's revealed to us some of his chest is covered in the same gray feathers as his head, and climbs out of bed to reach far underneath it. He pulls out a thick and very old-looking book with no title on it. Turning on a light, he opens it up to study its pages with joy. Cut camera to the pages being looked at. It's a book showing constellations, ones made up by the Tangamanu, ones we've never seen before. On some of these pages, the ones near the start of the book more, the drawings are outlined in many shades of yellow, and in the center of the binding between the connecting pages we see Earth, as it was thousands of years ago, in shades of red. Later in the book the drawings turn into being outlined in shades of blue, and multiple planets crossing the pages to being outlined in shades of green. The camera cuts back to Hawk smiling at the open book, then after a beat he closes it and looks up. Cut to X'd town. It's night time and Hawk is leaving one of the dome-shaped buildings with a look of awe on his face, holding the book to his side. The camera follows him, as he walks out of town, taking in everything with a look of wonder. At the edge of town he opens the book again, stares at it before looking to the sky. He looks back to the book, just as his dad, who has more black on his feathers than white, walks up behind him. Valwort, boo. Hawk nearly drops the book and turns around to his dad, pale. Comt. It's Oklahoma, but it's early and I would have liked to have done it as a family. Hall, I had to see it, the urge kept bugging me. Valwort, as it does all of us. Hall, why? Valwort, pointing to the sky, because we were meant to be up there. Hall, that's silly. Valwort, Hall, long ago we could, but not anymore. Hall, huh? Valwort, we could fly. Hall, still silly. Valwort, that book you're holding you weren't meant to see till you were older. Hall, but it has no words, I can't read much, I like it. Valwort, turn to one of the pages in the beginning. Hawk does so, then looks to his dad, who then points to Earth. Comt, long ago we came from that planet. Its name, Hall, is Earth. Hall looks back to the book. Hall, why'd we leave it? Valwort, a species known as human came to our land and killed most of us. Hawk takes this in with a look of wide-eyed shock. Comt, we had wings, Hall. We could soar and they killed us because of that, we were different from them and that couldn't be. Hawk starts crying, still wide-eyed at what he's just been told. Cut to X'd town, court circle, present day. Hawk and everyone else is where we last saw them at the end of episode 20. Lark's dad comes out from the crowd towards him. Dad, these humans have been brought to you for your judgment in wounding my daughter. Rage builds on Hawk's face and he begins to mount words. But before he can say anything, a man that looks to be around his late 60s rushes up beside him. Good fellow, Hawk, please, Before you pass your judgment on them, listen to them. Hawk stops moving his mouth and continues looking to them coldly. Hawk growling, tell me what happened. End teaser. Pre-credits. Beginning of Act 1. Ext, town, court circle. The scene here picks up right where the teaser left off. Zek, she invaded outer space, I had to do something about it. Guard 2, turning to Zek, do you know where you are? Zek, among freaks. Hawk, you are on the colony of Prom, you own no space here. David, my ship has crashed here, if it is not repaired we'll need outer space. Hawk, not until I have said it is so, and at the moment that seems to be something you will not have for a long time. The camera cuts close in on Sam, as he says to himself, being ordered around by a pigeon, I don't believe this. Guard 2 hits Sam. Guard 2, you'll show respect human. Sam, I have issues with creatures who look like what brought down the ship, you don't have my respect. The camera returns to being by Hawk as Goodfellow turns to him again. Goodfellow, I think you should call a recess before something happens. Kant, I might be able to talk some sense into them. Hawk smiles. Hawk, you're the only human I trust at all and you're lucky for that, but these ones, Hawk waves a hand towards the Seeker crew. Goodfellow, one of them carried Lark all the way back to town and gave her back to her family. Hawk returns his attention back to the crowd. Hawk, I'd like to call a recess at this time. Goodfellow, and also the judge and I talk with the accused. Hawk looks to Goodfellow coldly. Comp in a low voice, I've been gone for 10 years, they're from Earth. Cut to. Int, Crescent Building. On its inside we learn it's bigger than it looks from the outside, like its stone counterparts of deeply moving down into the ground with levels being connected by a widening stairwell cut into its center. Hawk, Goodfellow and Buck and Wilma accompanied by their guards are here. Hawk is against the far wall to the rest. Buck, directing this to Hawk, we're not going to hurt you. Hawk continues staring at them. Goodfellow, he's judging you now, he won't talk while he's doing it. Buck, oh. Wilma, putting out a hand to Goodfellow, Colonel Wilma Deering of Earth's Defense Directorate. Goodfellow, Earth's Defense Directorate really? I used to help out the Directorate once in a while back, before I retired. Goodfellow to Buck, boy, do you know what good her people do? Buck, I'm one of them. Goodfellow, you are, well that's incredible. Hawk, so is Asimov. Buck and Wilma turn towards Hawk. Goodfellow, I'm sure working for the Defense Directorate you might have heard of Admiral Asimov at some time. He used to run the Directorate you know. Not too wild about the Tanga man I'm afraid. Wilma, Admiral Asimov is here. And at the same time, Buck, Tanga Manu. Goodfellow, Admiral Asimov and a few others and myself, Ohio Graynesses I forgot to introduce myself. Goodfellow shaking hands with Buck and Wilma, I'm Dr. Perry Goodfellow. Wilma, Dr. Goodfellow. Goodfellow, yes? Buck pointing to him, you designed the Crichton series. Goodfellow, and many others that I can be proud of too. Wilma, how did you and the others get here? Goodfellow, that's an explanation I started to go into a short while ago. We came to this galaxy to research planets rich in minerals of great value. The ship we were on, its name was the Searcher and Dash. Buck, the Searcher? The camera starts zooming in on Hawk. Goodfellow, a fine ship, despite being well armed and having the Admiral in command. Dash. The camera is now close on Hawk's face. Kant, we were still brought down by Dash. Cut to. X, playground. It's a schoolyard playground and all the little bird kids are around Lark's age. They are all playing about but Hawk, who's ordering around as many others as he can, none who are near him like this. Hall, the dirt isn't for playing in, it's messy, leave it alone. Kid holding ball, what's your problem? Hall, go over to them and play with the ball. Kid holding ball, whatever, he says, leaving Hawk and bouncing the ball on his way. Hawk makes an annoyed sound just before a girl his age comes up to him. Hawk notices Corey and gives her a look like he's not sure what to make of her presence. Corey, they don't like what you're doing, you know. Hall, but they don't know what's best for them. I know what's best for them. Corey, I know what's best for you, how to make you stop. Hall, that would be. Corey gives him a quick kiss on the cheek. Hawk acts like he's repulsed. Hall, ooh yuck, what did you do that for? Corey, do you still want to order them around? If you still do, I'll kiss you again. When she said that, the aisle it was drawn out. Hawk takes a moment to think, then laughs. Cunt, let's play on the swings. Cut to Int, Crescent Building. The scene here is the same as how we last saw it, and the camera is still close in on Hawk. Good fellow, the others, you're sure them not being here is such a good idea? Buck, they didn't come out this way for the crew of the searcher, only it's dated. Good fellow, well, they're not going to get what they came here for, not if they continue to act in the fashion they have been. Cut to Ext, the ICC. The guards of the seeker crew, not with Goodfellow and Hawk, are watching David, Jacob, Sam and Zek move from ice sheet, peering through its cracks into the water below. David, shouting to the guards, because he's a good distance from them, how far does the debris go out for? No answer, and David gets an annoyed look. Cunt, I know you're not deaf, how far out does it go? Still nothing, and David heads towards the guards. Cunt, are you even listening to me? My ship has been trashed, what's here are the remains of a ship that maybe, just maybe, could be combined with what's left of my ship, plus information the ship collected before it was shot down. Guard 3, it wasn't shot down. David, and just how would you know that? David starts walking out into the IC again. Cunt, your people are penguins living in this frozen wasteland, yet don't have any ships to go into space, you couldn't have known whether or not it was shot. Guard 3, it was ripped apart, we saw to that. David stops in his tracks and turns around. David, you ripped it apart? Guard 3, we built what you call the unknown needles. Guard 4, humans have no business being in the Altura galaxy, it's our home, you just wrecked it up, if we let you travel through it. Jacob, we just want to mine. Guard 3, not here you won't, and the data you're seeking isn't here either. Hawk has it. David, that buzzard of a judge has the data. Guard 5, you were told to treat him with respect. Jacob reaching down into the water for a sharp shard of metal, do we have to respect you? Cut to Int, Hawk's home. Hawk is in the porch holding a ring coated in many jewels, showing it to a male Tangut man close to his age, which is in his mid-20s. Hall, think she'll like it? Swin, I'm not sure it's such a good idea, Hall. She's been avoiding you for a few weeks now, I don't think marriage is something on her mind, at least not with Dash. Hall, I haven't seen her with anyone else and we've been together for years. Hawk heads for the door to go outside. Swin, I think something big is going on with her, wait it out and then propose. Hawk heading out the door, nonsense, everything will be fine. Cut to Ext, portal. Corey is standing at the edge to what looks like a perfectly round, very large crater. All of her belongings are by her side and packed up. Hawk is racing up to her as this scene begins. "Haw, Corey." Corey, Hawk laughs. "What are you doing here?" Corey turns to Hawk. "Corey, what are you doing here?" Nearly out of breath and at her now. "Haw, we've known each other since beat forever." Hawk bends down onto a one knee. "Comp, and I'd greatly like it if that could continue, officially." Corey starts to weep and Hawk gets off his knee noting this. "Comp, what's wrong? Don't you want to?" Behind Corey we can't see a massive shape moving up from the crater, shaping itself in a glowing liquid state. "Corey, while weeping, Haw, I have some bad news for you. End of Act 1. Beginning of Act 2. Ext, portal." This scene picks up where it last left off, but the massive shape forming behind Corey out of the crater is starting to take on some definition in shape at this point, like a spire with lines moving down from its top. Hawk has a dead look on his face, speaking softly, "Haw, what is it?" "Corey, I'm needed on the colony of Tellys. I've been called for military duty." "Haw, why?" The massive shape behind Corey is forming new lines that indent between the ones already there at the top. This is creating an almost feathery look. "Corey, I've been trained to do this." "Haw, but I'm from." "Corey, I've been called." "Haw, but I need you." The feathery look at the top starts peeling down and outwards, now looking like massive growing thin feathers waving about. "Corey, I'm sorry." Corey hugs Hawk and picks up her things. The feathery shapes from the shape all at once lean towards the two of them. "Comp, goodbye." The feathery shapes admit lighting at her, which makes her disappear in a flash with her things. Hawk speaking softly, "Goodbye." Cut to Ext, town outskirts. David, Jacob, Sam and Zach, out of rushed metal or creating the framework of a spaceship large enough to hold them all. A few Tangan men will watch them from a distance. Jacob, noticing how they're acting, flares his blowtorch, smiling and laughing. Some of the younger Tangan men who back away in fear. Jacob continues his work. "Jacob, doesn't take anything, dumb birds." Sam, "They're behind the unknown needles and those are past any kind of military technology I've ever heard of." A Simod starts coming towards them. Zach, "Those guards were easy, but that Hawk, I'm betting he won't be the same, not with those goody director of people around." A Simod, "And just what makes you call the defense director of people goody?" David, "You're one of the searcher's crew, aren't you?" Asimov, "I was until the ship met its fate." Jacob patting on the metal hard, "It hasn't fully met its fate yet." Asimov walking around the ship framework, "You're going to build a whole ship from the wreckage of the searcher?" David, "And from our old ship?" Asimov shakes his head lightly, "No." Asimov, "Gentlemen, you're not the sort of folks I'd normally call upon. But then again, the defense director and I haven't always seen each other eye to eye. Beat, how would you like a good ship? A real ship, and what you came here looking for?" Zach stops his work. "Zach, we're not the sort you're used to. What are you, one of those director people?" Asimov, "I was, until I retired, joined up on the searcher's quest, because I wanted one last adventure in life. The defense director and I had different ideas of what was right and wrong half the time. Living here as long as I have has given me no love of this planet's people." David goes over to Asimov. David Harris, holding out a hand to be shook. Asimov taking it, Alec Asimov. Cut to Int, Lark's home. Lark's in her bed, nearly asleep, with her mom by her side with a thin book in hand. As this scene begins, Hawk has just entered into the camera's view. Hawk, in a low voice, is it Oklahoma to talk with her? Mom, the medicine is kicking in, she'll be asleep soon. B, you can talk with her, but I'm not sure how much she will. Hawk goes to the bedside of Lark and crouches down to her eye level. Hawk, still in the same voice, how are you doing? Lark, still painful but better. Hawk, do you mind if I ask you a few questions about what happened? Lark, you haven't locked them up yet? Hawk, well, that's what I'm wondering, if you could help me out with. Are they all guilty or just a few? Lark, just one. Hawk, which one? Lark, the meanest. Hawk, that's hard for me to tell, they're humans. Beat, do you mean the one called Zack? Lark, yep. Hawk, the others were mean as well? Lark, the lady and the man who carried me didn't talk mean. Hawk, thank you for your help. Hawk gives Lark a kiss on her forehead before leaving her bedside. Mom, can I speak with you? Hawk, of course. Mom, not here. Looking to Lark, then going to the stairs and indicating Hawk to follow. Cut to Int, room above Lark's. Hawk and Lark's mom are standing by the stairs. Mom, I want them all gone. Hawk, but not all of them are bad. Mom, despite what my daughter says, I don't trust those two other humans as well. There's too many of them here, we have to get rid of them, she says in a hushed tone. Hawk, I've come to be friends with one of them. Mom, we all know that, but we have to get rid of them, before they get rid of us. Hawk takes on an irritated look, then after a beat. Hawk, good day, madam. Hawk disappears up the stairs. Cut to Int, Crescent Building, jail level. As this scene begins, Buck and Wilma are being led down into this area of the stairwell that greatly widens here to enter the room through a door that's barred to prevent escape. Their guards are there and so is Goodfellow. As one of the guards, we'll call him Active Guard, and locks the door leading into the jail, Buck, how long do you think it will take Hawk to make a decision about us? The Active Guard opens the door for Buck and Wilma to enter. Goodfellow, I don't know, and due to your crewmates having vanished, that only adds to the mystery. Buck and Wilma go inside the jail. Wilma, could they have left prom? Goodfellow, not without Hawk's say-so, they couldn't. The Inactive Guard starts to close the door, but Goodfellow stops him. Can't, in a moment, he says to the Inactive Guard. Goodfellow goes inside the jail, which brings on a look of shock from both Buck and Wilma. Wilma, Dr. Goodfellow. Goodfellow, I say the two of you are far from guilty. This is my way of telling Hawk that. Goodfellow to the Inactive Guard. You may close and lock it now. Buck, you wild old coot. The Inactive Guard locks the door and leaves with the Active Guard up the stairs. Goodfellow, birds of a feather, you know, I want to know what I've missed while away. Buck, did you help program Theo as well? Goodfellow, Dr. Theopolis? Why do you ask? Buck sighs, no reason. Goodfellow, I had a hand in Theopolis upgrades at one point, but I'd like it better if both of you explained. Buck, turning away, not again. Wilma, I'd explain better. Goodfellow to Buck, whose back is turned, somehow you've been living under a rock too? Buck just waves him away. Suddenly Hawk starts coming down the stairs with the key in hand that will unlock the trio's jail. Wilma, you've come to a decision about the crew and us. Hawk, Goodfellow, what are you doing in there? Crossing his arms, Goodfellow, they're good people, Hawk. If they are to go to a bad fate, then I'm to go with them. Hawk shakes his head and smiles. After a beat, Hawk, where are the other humans, the rest of the seeker crew? Buck, We don't know same as you. Hawk unlocks the jail and opens its door. Hawk, would you trust them with your life? He says to Goodfellow. Goodfellow, yes beat why do you ask? Hawk, you have to leave here, if you don't you might die. End of Act 2. Beginning of Act 3. Int, Crescent Building, Jail Level. This scene picks up right where Act 2 left off with Hawk, Buck, Wilma and Goodfellow. Goodfellow coming out the door to the jail, danger, Hawk what danger could there be here? Sure the others of their crew aren't of a good sort but I don't think they'd hurt their own kind. Hawk, they're humans, I wouldn't put that past them, but that isn't the threat. Buck and Wilma leave the jail looking at Hawk. Cunt, it's no longer safe for humans to remain on Thrum. Hawk starts going up the stairs to off camera. Cunt, we need to find an answer that will allow you to leave. Cut to Int, Crescent Building. We are back on the first floor with Hawk, Buck, Wilma and Goodfellow coming up to it from below, loud knocking can be heard. Buck, expecting company. Hawk, motioning to the others, stay back, I'll answer the door. Hawk goes to the main entrance and with opening it he finds David and Asimov standing together, Jacob, Zach and Sam are behind them. Asimov, may we come in? Hawk, that all depends on your intent. Asimov and the rest of the Seeker crew come in anyway. Wilma, Admiral. Asimov, Captain Deering, it's been a long time. Tell me, do you like it here? Wilma. It's Colonel Deering now. Asimov, we need to leave this planet. Asimov, I couldn't agree with you more, but before we leave. Asimov turns to Hawk, Cont, the data you're holding from the searcher, I'd like it back. Hawk, to protect this colony and all others like it from human invasion I can't give it back to you. David, Rogers, Deering, old man. Are you with us or the bird on this? Buck, I've been told eons ago we drove Hawk's kind from Earth nearly killing them all, before they left. We have no right to be here, I'm with him. Wilma, same with me. David to Hawk, do you have the searcher's data here? Hawk, that is not, for you to know. Jacob pulls a device out of his pocket. Jacob, I have a wild bet it is. Go to the stairs and go down them. Hawk, leave. David, no. Wilma, Admiral, these aren't good people, you shouldn't be with them. Asimov, after 10 years of being treated like a worthless pile of crap by them and being told I can't leave due to they don't want more humans to come here. Deering, I know they're not the right sort but I just don't care anymore, I want them to get what they want. Hawk walks up to them, he's now right up to David. Hawk, leave now. Asimov, David, Jacob, Zach and Sam go out the door due to Hawk looking like he could hit them at any time. With the door still open, David, you should come too. Buck, he's right, you need to keep an eye on them. Hawk goes outside, but before he can close the door Jacob throws the device inside the building and at that an explosion happens. Cut to Ext, I see. It's raining and a large smoke trail can be seen moving down from the sky into a patch of water with no ice around it for twice the size of the smoke trail. Off in the distance we can see debris falling from the sky randomly with smoke trails into the icy water. A group of over a dozen Tangata men were running out to the hole, as this scene begins. Lead bird, it looked like some kind of ship, not one of ours. Second bird, aliens. Lead bird, they're drowning, it doesn't matter. One of the crowd dives into the water and lead bird follows. Second bird stares into the water then shaking his head no, dives in as well. Cut to Int, I see. We see a few of the Tangata man swimming down towards the searcher that's helm has been ripped up. We are seeing it on its tail end, its jet rockets still trying to fire into a life despite the water surrounding them. A massive ring that comes before them is trying to turn but is being stopped by a mechanical malfunction and seen to us. After a beat of this scene. Cut to. Int, I see. Liegbert is dragging a Simoth, who's unconscious, through the loose ice to thicker ice, where he sets him halfway out of the water. Cut camera onto a Simoth so we get a good look at his face. It's him of 10 years ago. Cut camera onto a Liegbert who's staring at him in confusion. After a beat. Goldbird, they're human, throw them back in. The camera pulls out from Liegbert and we see Oldbird pushing an indecorated member of the searcher's crew towards the water. Liegbert turning to the Oldbird, stop. Oldbird stopping in his tracks, why? What do we owe them? Liegbert, they aren't the same ones, we don't know why they came out here. Oldbird, then let's find out. Oldbird turns to another Tangut Manu who dives back into the water. Oldbird turning back to Liegbert, Kant, we'll let Hall decide what to do with them, but I say death. Cut to. Int, Crescent Building. Swin, not all of them survived. He says handing Hawk a data chip that's rather large. Hawk takes the chip. Hall, what is it? Swin, it's used for data storage. They came here to invade the colonies. Hall, a single ship? Swin, to collect information on outer planets for mining. Hall, I'll hold on to this. Swin, what do you want done with them? Hall, they are outcasts of this land. They should be treated as so. Swin, maybe you should tell that to one of them. Hall, oh. Looking to Swin. Cut to. Ext, Crescent Building. While the six others who survived the crash are with Tangut Manu, of whom some have taken hold of the strangers in their midst, while others just stare at them, Goodfellow Kyle ever wrapped up in a blanket like his shipmates isn't with the rest. He's studying the paintings coating the side of the building, talking to a female Tangut Manu with near fully black feathers who doesn't seem to really care what he's saying. Goodfellow pointing to a painting, they have a special meaning don't they, these paintings? He turns his attention back to the wall continuing his studying. Kant, they remind me of paintings, ancient paintings I'd seen back home on Earth. The black feathered lady beside him rolls her eyes. Hawk enters the scene. Hall, has he done anything to you? Black feathered lady with a slight grin, he knows of us. Hawk turning Goodfellow toward him, then what will you do about that? Goodfellow, my, nothing, I think it's fascinating you're still alive. Goodfellow puts out a hand to Hawk in friendship. Hall, what's that mean? Goodfellow tries to take one of Hawk's hands but he pulls it back from him. Goodfellow, I see we have much to learn from each other, Birdman, beat a lot has changed over time. Cut to. Ext, Crescent Building. It's back to present day. A fire has filled the view to inside the building, the Seeker crew but Buck and Wilma look either pleased with themselves or wear a blank look on their faces. Jacob isn't one of the ones with a blank look on his face. Hawk has started going back into the building, but turning his head back towards them. Why? David, because we want to get off this snowball with or without what we came here for and only you can grant that. Hawk takes on a very cold expression and returns to heading inside. Kant, there's more where that came from, we loaded up before leaving Earth. Cut to. Int, Crescent Building. We can still see the main entrance door open with a Simoth and the rest of the Seeker crew there as before. Hawk is making his way in carefully to Buck, Wilma and Goodfellow who are off camera. Kant, next time it will be more than your home and your friends. Hawk, Goodfellow, Deering, Rogers. B.O. Buck, Hawk, we're over. Cut camera to the floor with Hawk taking a step forward and in a snap the wood splinters and caves in, taking down Hawk, and we heard a massive cave in with the crackling of the fire. End of Act 3. Beginning of Act 4. Int, collapsed crescent building. The little lighting we have is from the burning fire of the wreckage. Buck, Wilma, Hawk and Goodfellow are here. Hawk makes a sound that indicates he's in pain. B.O. Wilma, Hawk. Blaster fire and shouting can be heard from a distance, as Hawk raises his head listening to the noise, his head feathers puff for a beat. Returning his attention to his surroundings, Hawk, Goodfellow. A beat and no answer comes. B.O. Buck, Wilma, Hawk, can you see him? The ruckus off camera stops. The camera cuts to Wilma, who's trying her best to hold up the collapsed burning wreck over her head and looking at Goodfellow just off to the side below her at the same time. Wilma, I just hope he's simply unconscious. The camera pans through the wreck to Buck, whose back is holding up wreckage over him. Buck, Hawk, we can still breathe well down here. Where's the ventilation coming from? The camera swoops through the wreckage to Hawk, who's trying to move a bad leg and having debris fall on him, as he does so. Hawk, every level has 5 ventilation vents. Hawk makes a noise of pain. Count, 5 ventilation tunnels to the outside. B.O. Buck, are you hurt? Hawk, my right leg is hurt badly, I'm trying to move it. The camera pans over to Wilma and Goodfellow. Wilma turns her head to a side and sniffs the air. Wilma, I think I'm by one of the vents. B.O. Hawk, see, if you can find its cover, I'll give you its code. Wilma carefully moves away debris as do not make more fall onto her and Goodfellow. Code? B.O. Hawk, there is a prison in this building, remember? Don't want people to use the shafts for escape. Wilma, could a human fit through one of these? No answer for a beat, Kant, I'm sorry. B.O. Hawk, if anything it will be tight. The camera pans over to Buck, who's starting to move towards where Hawk is. Buck, you're coming too. The camera moves with Buck. B.O. Hawk, why? Buck, why? Why? Hawk, do you want to die? B.O. Hawk, I'm not one of your kind. Buck, that doesn't matter, we need to get out of here before the whole structure breaks down. Buck makes it over to Hawk. Hawk, you're a very unusual man. Buck looking to Hawk's hurt leg, how bad is it? Hawk, it hurts to move it. B.O. Wilma, I found the cover. Hawk, B21825. B.O. Wilma, that's the code, 21825. The camera cuts to Wilma punching in the code on a small keypad. She opens the cover of the shaft, which is just large enough for a supermodel to move through. She looks to Goodfellow, Wilma, well, this is going to be a trick. The camera cuts back to Buck and Hawk. Buck, I can't rig up a stretcher in here, take my hand, you're going to have to move that leg, I'll pull you along. Hawk takes Buck's hand. Cut to. Ext, from, cliff. Hawk is standing looking out over the sea, it's still 10 years ago. After a beat he turns his attention to the sky, as Swin walks up behind him. Haw, you've taken one too? Swin. It better connects us to Earth, I picked out one, for you. Haw, what's yours? Swin, Raven. Swin, now Raven walks up beside Hawk. Raven, you'll be up there one day, soaring high, like a hawk. Haw, such an amazing bird. Raven putting a hand on one of Hawk's shoulders, it's good you feel that way, because that's the name I chose, for you. Hawk now looks to Raven, Hawk, thanks. Cut to. Ext, town ventilation. The ground is covered in dozens of holes half covered over in ice. A few Tanga men holding blasters stand by some of these holes. Wilma rear backing out first starts coming into the scene. She's moving on her stomach. She's lugging Goodfellow after her. A couple of the Tanga men turn their blasters towards her. Dunn told her one, you should have stayed in the building. Who's one of the ones pointing a blaster towards her? Wilma drags out Goodfellow. Wilma, he got knocked out in the fall. Hawk got injured too. Dunn told her one, is Hawk with you? Wilma gets clear of the hole, as Buck climbing with his arms, has Hawk off camera holding on to his legs. B.O. Hawk, I'm here, don't shoot. Wilma, how do you know? Buck comes out of the hole more and we now see Hawk holding on to him. Hawk, I had a feeling this would happen, that's why I told you it wasn't safe to remain here. Wilma, you're a good friend to him. Dunn told her too, who's the other one pointing a blaster at them? Why do you want to help them? Buck comes fully out of the hole with Hawk who immediately, as best he can, goes over to Goodfellow. Hawk, we helped them 10 years ago, why not now? Dunn told her too, there's getting to be too many of them here. Hawk checks Goodfellow for a pulse. Hawk, I'm going to let them leave from. Dunn told her one, then how will you ensure their actions, that they won't lead others here? Hawk looks to Dunn told her one. Cut to. Axed, portal. From above we see a ship that looks like the one Corey left in earlier in this episode, fully formed out and waving its feather tendrils in the air. Hawk, wearing a thin cast, is standing looking up at it with Raven by his side and Buck, Wilma, Goodfellow, and the 6 remaining crew members of the searcher are there. A Simog is too, but he's down by bonds covering him completely but his mouth. He's not making any movement. Raven, are you sure you want to do this? I mean there are other ways to ensure their actions. Hawk, I don't want them dead. Besides I trust your judgment beat mostly. Cut camera to a side palm of them all. Raven turning to Hawk, I'll be keeping in touch. Hawk, I was hoping you'd say that. Buck, is this safe? He says looking at the ship. Hawk to Buck, the eagles won't attack our ships. Wilma, how do we get in it? Raven, the ship will transfer you, when it's ready. The ship's lighting hits Buck and he disappears. Wilma gives a little shriek. Hawk, it's ready. Wilma gets hit by the lighting and disappears, and 3 of the searcher crew have it happen to them soon after. Goodfellow, looking to Hawk who turns to him. You're getting what he promised to you long ago, you know, he says smiling. Hawk, what's that? Raven, you're going to soar, Hawk. Goodfellow is struck by the lightning and so are the rest of the searcher crew and Asimov. Hawk smiling, thanks. Raven, goodbye my friend. Hawk being taken by the lightning, goodbye my friend. Cut camera back to above the ship. As we see it take off with Raven watching. As we watch it move higher towards moving up and off camera we find out on its tail end, which is much larger, it has more of the feather tendrils but with a glow brighter than the rest of the ship, they are what's moving it along. When the ship moves fully off camera the camera then moves up for a beat before the scene fades to black. End of Act 4. The End. Roll credits.